Lord, we thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ. That nothing else can cleanse us apart from the blood of Jesus. That our sole hope in this life is found in the death and resurrection of our Lord. And as we journey on this earth and encounter different difficulties and sufferings, Lord, help us to be quicker and quicker to come to you in prayer, acknowledging that we need you and that we are weak apart from you. This morning we remember the Zhang family. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful celebration of life service yesterday. And we just ask, God, that on this day after, you would be with the family. You would be with Emily and giving them just your supernatural comfort and peace, helping them to fight, to hold on to your goodness and to hold fast to this same hope that Dan held, this hope that is found in Jesus. We pray that even this upcoming week, when many people around might be quicker to continue on with life, and for them it may seem static still, Lord, we just ask for you to draw even nearer to them during those times. Be with them, oh God. We continue to lift up this country to you, oh Lord. We pray that you be giving the leaders of our country wisdom that is from you, to make decisions that are in line with your will. That especially in this year being an election year, Lord, we especially ask for your grace and mercy upon this land. But at the same time, we ask, Lord, that you would help us as your people to continue to recognize that our ultimate hope is not found in man. Our ultimate hope is not found in powers and governments, but it is found in Jesus. So would you help us to have a tempered expectation, but also a discernment and wisdom to know how to interact, how to view, and how to participate in things of this country. And finally, we ask that you would continue to be with all the conflicts that are going on in this world. Lord, when we see and hear about these things, we are soberly reminded of the brokenness in this world. Lord, it pains you, we know, to see people suffering, to see lives being taken away. So we ask, oh God, that you would intervene, you would bring peace, and bring the stop to violence, oh Lord. This morning we ask that you would help us all in hearing your word this morning. Would you open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive your truth? Would you be with your servant this morning, for he is weak? Help me to just speak what you want to speak to your people this morning, oh God. May your Holy Spirit do a transformative work in each one of us this morning. Help us, oh God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture reading. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13, looking at verses 4 through 7. It reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. I want to welcome you again to our service this morning. My name is Andrew. I'm here on staff, and I'm excited to bring to you the word of God. And I hope that even this morning's sermon can be transformative and really challenge us in each one of our walks with the Lord. If you've been joining us, you know that we've been journeying through 1 Corinthians. And we're taking this extra time in these recent weeks to slow down with 1 Corinthians 13. This famous passage about what love is, often we see used in weddings, but I'm here to tell you that this passage is more than just for weddings. And we're slowly looking at each portion of the different qualities and the different loves. Last week, Pastor James spoke about how love does not envy, and this morning we're talking about how love does not boast. Love does not boast. So I would encourage you, if you're able, to continue to join us in the coming weeks as we get through all of these qualities, because we're not even halfway through. That's how descriptive love is when we look at Scripture and look at this passage specifically. Just to give some context about this specific quality of love, okay, so some background, right? Because when Paul says love does not boast, he's not just like pulling this out of nowhere. Like, why would Paul need to say this to the Corinthian church? Well, Paul needs to write this in his letter to the Corinthian church. Him writing that love does not boast, right, it applies directly to what was going on in the church at the time. I know it was a long time ago. I think when I looked it up, it was back in like September or so. But when we were looking at the early chapters of 1 Corinthians on this pulpit, in the early chapters, Paul addresses a particular issue that the Corinthian church is going through. Now, he's calling out the church for having these divisions and cliques among themselves because of who they followed. If you look at chapter 1, verses 12, a long time ago, right? What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Because of these factions, quarreling and division was like rampant in the church. And it got to the point where they would get behind their favorite teacher and boast about them. Paul is clearly better than Apollos. Or Apollos is more of the people's teacher. Cephas is better. He actually walked with Jesus. This type of tribalism, this attitude was not healthy or beneficial for the Corinthian church. And I just kind of like imagine during this time that if like for a newcomer, right, if a newcomer walked into the church at Corinth, like you're entering into the gathering, there's lots of people of diverse backgrounds. Corinth was a very diverse church during the time. You're curious to hear and interact with the people of kindness, or the Christionai, if you guys remember from a few weeks back. That's what Christians were known back then, the people of kindness. You arrive, and what do you see? What do you see? You see like a scene that looks like a grade school cafeteria. Cliques, people huddling in their exclusive groups, only eating with the people that they see as part of the group, separated by fan club. The cool kids over here, the less cool kids over here, and then Andrew over there somewhere, you know? Not only that, but you find them constantly trying to one-up one another, boasting in their guy. Is this the people of kindness? Is this the community and love that Jesus was talking about? Obviously, super problematic. But my question more generally is like, why is boasting a problem? Just generally speaking, like, why is boasting a problem? Because even today, we would agree that boasting isn't a positive trait. Boasting isn't a positive trait. People who like to brag all the time can be annoying or suffocating. And I'm sure as I say this, we can think of certain people, certain faces or names pop into our minds in our lives who like fit this description. And they might be sitting next to us here. They just keep talking about themselves, how good they are, how awesome their life is, how amazing what amazing things that they have. And again, for the most part, our culture doesn't smile upon such people. They don't smile, it doesn't smile upon like overt boasting, that if all you do is brag about yourself, is not embraced as a positive trait. And for Eastern cultures, it's deemed a super negative trait, even like taboo to even do such a thing. But before we're too quick to just point at someone else who's boastful, we have to realize that we aren't immune to what Paul is talking about here. We're not immune to being boastful as well. And I would challenge us to consider social media. Social media. Because isn't social media a platform built for boasting? Isn't it a platform built for boasting? We put our lives on display for others to react and see, for them to hopefully like. You know, it's things like, you know, check out this Michelin star restaurant I went to. Or look at my acceptance letter to this Ivy League school. Check out my awesome vacation that you're not on. And even as I say this, like I'm always like, it's so uncomfortable and like cringy to like hear that, right? But for some reason, it seems more acceptable when we're just like scrolling through it. For some reason. But we're all prone to boasting in some shape or form. Maybe not overtly saying it out loud to the people around us, although that might happen. We might do that more than we like to admit. But just generally speaking, we are definitely prone to boasting. But what happens when we encounter verses like this? In 1 Corinthians. We look at 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 30 to 30, or chapter 1, verse 30 to 31. And because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. It kind of sounds like Paul is contradicting himself within his own letter to 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. If love does not boast, then why boast at all? If love does not boast, then why boast at all, even if it's in the Lord? Not only that, but even in 2 Corinthians, right, his subsequent letter to the Corinthian church, there are multiple instances of Paul talking about his boasting. It seems to be a perpetual issue at the church at Corinth. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, according to our passage today, boasting is supposed to be something negative. It's supposed to be something negative. So how can Paul say that boasting is not loving while also claim to be boasting himself? There seems to be a tension here. There seems to be a tension here. This is where I want to take a moment to compare two ideas, okay? Boasting and bragging, okay? Boasting and bragging. And I want to take a moment to talk about this in order to help us just create these categories in our minds so that there's some clarity as we move forward in this sermon. Because just to be clear, okay, boasting and bragging, You won't find this distinction everywhere, okay? Even like when you look at Merriam-Webster in the dictionary, It seems to use these two terms interchangeably. But for this sermon, okay, I want to make sure that things are clear by making this distinction between boasting and bragging. Okay, boasting and bragging. Essentially, in a nutshell, they're different because bragging sits under boasting. Boasting is a bigger category than bragging. Bragging, we can argue, is an exclusively negative thing. It's an exclusively negative thing. That when I say the word like, oh, he's bragging, we automatically associate that to something negative. And I think that's very true and pretty universal, right? Bragging is exclusively a negative thing. That person bragging is definitely annoying, right? Boasting, we can argue, is a little bit more neutral. It's a little bit more neutral here. Majority of the time, boasting is a negative thing, but we're going to see that boasting is not exclusively negative, okay? Boasting is not exclusively negative. So just keep that in mind as we move forward, okay? Because when I use this terminology, okay, bragging, exclusively negative, boasting, a little bit more neutral, okay? Boasting is not always negative. So when does the more neutral boasting, when does this go wrong? When does boasting enter into bragging territory? When does boasting creep into bragging territory? Boasting goes wrong when it seeks to create a gap between ourselves and another person. It becomes bragging when our sharing is attempting to make us bigger and another person smaller. Bragging is always looking to compare with other people. Always looking to compare with other people. It's a difference between saying, I did a good job academically in college versus everyone else was an idiot compared to me in undergrad. Or, I'm glad I was able to get that house versus I'm so glad I'm not a renter anymore. It's exalting the self over somebody else. It's exalting the self over somebody else. But there's something similar about these two. There's something similar about these two as well, between bragging and boasting. And it's that these two things, both of these things, reveal what we treasure. Boasting reveals what we treasure. When someone boasts about their wealth or the things that they have, it can definitely be an indicator of their own heart. It means that they see these possessions as important enough to be talked about with others. It means that these possessions are a key part of how they see themselves. Or another example, when someone boasts about their success in school, their personal value is tied to how they perform. It's the boasting and the sharing about the success that helps to affirm for themselves that they are indeed successful. Or just look at bragging in general. Again, bragging being a completely negative form of boasting. When we're trying to make someone else smaller by us bragging, what are we trying to emphasize? What are we trying to emphasize? Or who do we treasure? Ourselves. That in my bragging, in trying to exalt myself, to make myself feel superior and therefore you inferior, my value there is in myself. My value is in myself. Boasting reveals what we treasure. This is why when Paul talks about boasting in his letters, he's always making a point about what he's boasting about. And the pattern we see is completely upside down. It's completely upside down because typically, generally speaking, we expect boasting to simply be bragging. We always expect it to be the negative form. That's why it's deemed so unloving, according to Corinthians 13. We expect boasting to be about my accomplishments, how I am better than you, how I have more than you, how my favorite teacher Apollos is better than your teacher, and how my status is greater than you, how my church is better than you. All about my things that I see as great. But throughout Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we see passages like this. It's like this. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Boasting of things that show my weakness. Boasting of things that show my weakness. Why? Why? It's the complete opposite of bragging. Weakness, by definition, makes me lesser than somebody else. Again, bragging is me trying to feel superior over somebody else. But if I'm boasting my weakness, weakness means that I am below someone else. Weakness is not something that makes me look better. Weakness is something that I want to hide. Even in this passage specifically, in 2 Corinthians, right, Paul is choosing to not boast about his ministry successes, but instead boasting about his suffering, his persecution, his hardships. Why would he do this? Why would he choose to boast about this instead? To answer this, I want us to look at another passage in the Old Testament now. Old Testament, we have Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, this is how it reads. Thus says the Lord, let not wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In Jeremiah, this prophecy is in the context of different judgments that are being pronounced on the nations. And these verses are God telling Israel how they are to properly prepare and respond to these judgments. You see, it points out a set of three, right? A set of three. Boasting in wisdom, boasting in might or strength, and boasting in riches. Wisdom, might, and riches. Very typical things that someone would boast about even today. Or should I say, they would brag about even today. But he's encouraging, God is telling them that in order to be properly prepared for the judgments, what are they to do instead? Not hold on and boast on about these three things, but instead boast in understanding and knowing God. Boast in understanding and knowing God. And specifically, three things about God. There's another set of three. It says, God's steadfast love, his justice, and his righteousness. Boasting in this understanding of who God is. And I want to make a quick note, right, that this isn't just like an intellectual understanding that he's calling for. Jeremiah uses the word knows me. This knowing has a connotation of more intimate personal experience of knowing this truth. It's understanding that even in Old Testament times, that things like wisdom, strength, and riches cannot help when facing the judgment before God. That the ultimate power, most valuable thing, is knowing Him. So, when we fast forward to Paul in 1 Corinthians, it's a similar story. Paul boasts in his weakness because he understands, he has an accurate view of himself. He sees himself as someone who is ultimately weak and needy. And we might think that when Paul is boasting about weakness, he's just, you know, purposely having low self-esteem. But that's not true. It's all about the context of how he's viewing himself. If Paul limits himself to like looking at just him and other people, Paul could easily boast about him being a Jew among Jews, or talk about how he's planted more churches than anybody else, or how he's done more for the kingdom of God. He could try to boast in his own wisdom, might, and riches. But Paul is looking at the bigger picture here. And in this larger picture, Paul realizes that he is weak, that he is nothing apart from Christ. You see, for Paul, and for us as well, there is an issue when it comes to boasting and bragging. There is an issue when it comes to boasting and bragging. And it's not simply that, you know, we're annoying the people around us. It's that when we brag, we are assuming that the world revolves around us. We outwardly proclaim that I am the center. I am the center. I need to seem better than everyone around me. But the reality, right, even if we don't outwardly proclaim this to the people around us, even if we don't outwardly proclaim these things and brag, we still want to be the center of the world. We want things to go our way. We want things to help us feel valuable. We treasure things that just make us feel good. By definition, this is selfishness and pride. And these are things that are counter to the Creator God. Bragging isn't just something that's annoying people. Bragging and such boasting are an offense to the God who is worthy of worship. That we are elevating ourselves in the place of God. And when we do this before a holy and just and righteous God, we deserve punishment and judgment. When we look at this passage in Jeremiah, right, in a similar vein as this, Paul boasting in his weakness, means he knows how God's love, justice, and righteousness are so much greater. He recognizes that his love, justice, and righteousness are so much greater. And thankfully, for both Paul and us, we get the benefit over Jeremiah because we get to clearly see these three attributes of God exemplified in the person of Jesus Christ. That God demonstrates his love by sending Christ down to earth. God's justice being completely satisfied through the work of Christ on the cross. Christ lived that righteousness from God so that we could be righteous. As much as we are tempted to brag and boast about the things regarding ourselves, we need to realize when we look at the life of Christ that Jesus had all the reason to boast. Jesus walked this earth with perfection and all power. Just look at his life. Look at the miracles that he performed. If I had that kind of power to heal, do all these things, the power of God in my hands, I'd be patting myself on the back every day. I'd want to flex that before people. I want to make sure everybody knew what I could do. Do all these healings before people so they get better, right? Not for me, just for you, so you can get better. Jesus had all the reason to boast. But we see that our Savior, he's a humble Savior and chooses not to. And it's because this humility, it's because of his humility, even if you're here for the meditation, right? When we read Philippians 2, this humility of our Savior to come down, to descend, to become man, to become obedient to the point on the cross, that he does this in humility to save a bragging, boastful people deserving of punishment. When we realize our need for a Savior, when we realize our own weakness, it is only then where we can boast properly the way that Paul says. Boasting in the work of Christ and not our own. Boasting in our weakness so that it points to the power of Christ. Boasting in his love that provides salvation to us. You and I are prone to boasting and bragging. Again, it may not be like an outward thing. It may not be a loud thing. But underneath these attitudes is a heart that is selfish and prideful, wanting to make ourselves the center and the throne, on the throne of our own lives. Taking the place of God in our own lives. And because of that, we are deserving of punishment. But the good news here is seeing that even though we are actually weak, there is a way where we have salvation. That it is through Jesus where we have something much better, where things can be whole again in our lives, where we have this hope in our lives, a hope that is beyond anything that riches, wisdom, or strength can offer us. If you are a Christian this morning, right? If you're a Christian this morning, you are not disqualified from this whatsoever. We are so prone to continue to trust riches, wisdom, and strength in our lives. We are so prone to not place our value and treasure in our Lord, that over and over again, we somehow choose other things to place at the center. We need to be mindful of this, friends, because this can creep in ways that we don't notice. Because on one hand, right, if I'm outwardly bragging to people about, I don't know, my great child, oh, Zoe's okay, right? 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 That's a very clear indicator for you that maybe I have some like heart issue going on, right? Maybe I have some heart issue going on. I love Zoe, by the way, okay? Just to be very clear, okay? Right? Very clear indicator. But I would argue that if I'm not like outwardly boasting, outwardly bragging to people, I can still have that heart issue. But now there's no like obvious outward indicator for me to measure my heart. We need to be so careful because this attitude can creep in ways that we do not expect. Boasting in our weakness, seeing how we do need Jesus, that apart from him, we are nothing. When we look at the greater picture of this world, of eternity, there is nothing that we have apart from Christ. We cannot, none of these things, riches, wisdom, strength, can bring us salvation. It is only through Jesus. So I would encourage us, all of us this morning, right, to let us not boast in ourselves. Love does not boast in ourselves, but love does boast and point to Christ, the one who did not boast. Love boasts in Christ, Love boasts in Christ so that others can see the beauty and glory of our Savior. So let's seek this morning to boast in the one who did not boast. Let us boast in our Lord Jesus this morning. Would you join me in prayer? I want to give you a minute to just evaluate your own heart, to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Now, yes, maybe you're not an overt bragger. Maybe you're not like super bragging towards the people around you all the time. But are there things that you maybe low-key do boast about? But are there things that in your heart that you treasure just a little bit too much? Things in your life, maybe it's yourself that you're putting at the center of who of your life right now. And at the same time, as this is being revealed to us, I would encourage you to seek to embrace our own weakness. Not simply so we feel bad about ourselves, but so that we can see the greater power and value found in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. That even as John says, that he would increase in our lives as we decrease. Lord, would you help us this morning? Help us to see ourselves just a little bit more clearly. But I also pray that you would give us courage to see ourselves more clearly. That maybe there is a reality, that maybe I do brag a little bit too much, and I didn't even notice. Maybe my boasting is not in the right things. Maybe I am holding on and treasuring other things a little bit too much in my life. Lord, help us to have courage to see these things in our lives and that we wouldn't stop there, but you would help us, oh God, to repent and turn from this and instead turn to the cross of Jesus, to embrace his death and resurrection, his work in our lives, knowing that it is only through him and his work and what he has done, his life, where we can have new life. Help us to put you back in your proper place on the throne of our lives, to make you the center once again. Help us, oh God. You know that we are so prone to wander. We are so prone to put other things, even simply ourselves, at the center. But, oh God, help us to see the immeasurable value of our Lord Jesus and to respond appropriately. Transform us, oh God, transform us and help us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you rise with us as we sing a song of response?